Okay, I think I'm ready.
Okay.
House Oversight Committee will come to order. I do want to mention that Representative Leonard indicated he'll be in about 10 minutes late, but he is definitely wanting to make sure that he's here. And so with that, Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, here.
Representatives Kelly.
Here.
O'Brien. Leonard. Auerlach. Townsend. Robinson.
Yeah.
Phelps. Mr. Chair, you do not yet have a quorum.
That's fine. And we don't, you know, we're taking testimony. I feel it's important that there's certainly a lot of interest in people getting on the record with their concerns. We know that there's been bills that have been proposed and haven't been able to move, but the very least we can do is make sure that people who want to address the legislature with their concerns over smart meters should be able to, and that's why I decided to hold this hearing. We have 76 people that want to speak. I'm hoping to keep that. I said 3 to 5 minutes, everybody. That includes we're going to have the utilities want to come in, but they're going to get 3 to 5 minutes as well. If you get bonus if you do a minute or two, because we're going to be here till 9-10 o'clock. I will be here. This is videotaped, so there'll be a record. Anything that you submit will be on the record, and certainly your testimony, while every word is not in the minutes, you'll be videotaped and it is archived and is available as well. So with that, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. I don't have a quorum to approve the minutes. And, we can certainly take testimony without a quorum. We couldn't move bills, but we don't have a bill before us right now. We are just addressing this issue and making sure that people are heard who have concerns or who are supportive. I don't know. But at any rate, let's go ahead. Deanna Hilbert from my district, Rochester Hills. We've talked several years now. Yes. And so I would like to have you kind of start things off. Sit there and you always, go to a mic and press the red button. And then you are on.
Okay.
And so if you could take a little bit of time, there's a couple members that may not be as familiar with smart meters. I'm going to bring up DT, and after a couple of folks speak, they'll talk a little bit about smart meters as well. But if you could just give us a quick synopsis. I'll give you a little bit more than 5 minutes if you'll give us a little information.
Yeah, I can get through this.
Thank you.
Sorry. I'm Deanna Hilbert. I'm from Rochester Hills. I'm a registered nurse for 35 years. We're here today to hear testimony about smart meters, which are transmitting devices that surveillance of your property, your electricity. It records electricity consumption. It's a two-way communication system. About 3 years ago, DTE came to Rochester Hills, our council meeting, and their representative told us that a 4-foot-wide band looks into your house every couple minutes and is recording what is going on with your electricity in your home, whether you have a chipped appliance or not. And at that point, I decided I need to get involved because I didn't want this in my home. I noticed that my neighbor's meter, it goes off every 2 minutes, 24/7. I've tested it. The EMF level is as high as my smartphone, as high as the is a microwave and those things, and that's going off 24/7 on people's homes. So tonight we're here to hear our voices, to be concerned regarding the health issues, the safety issues, and privacy issues with smart meters. I'm presenting the states and municipalities and provinces that have allowed an analog option. Governments currently that have analog options is Port Angeles, Washington. Due to delays, software issues, opposition, they can keep their analog, no fee. Eugene, Oregon stopped the program totally, went back to analogs, no fees. Their decision was based on medical testimony and community opposition. Dr. Paul Dart testified to the Oregon legislator, and he was key in getting people's attention. I've entered a document on his behalf of his presentation to the Oregon legislature. Vermont, you can have an analog, no charge. Portland, Oregon has an analog option. Florida, California, in addition, 57 local governments have banned and voted in opposition to smart meters in their communities. Nevada, Georgia, In Arizona, 19,000 residents review smart meters and plans to charge for an analog option is on hold pending an investigation of health issues. Maryland has an analog option. Hawaii, Saskatchewan reverted to analogs because of documented fire risk. British Columbia, there's a class action lawsuit. There's an analog option with a fee. Quebec has an opt-out. The fees have recently been reduced. Medicine Alberta suspended the program because of fire risks. Germany, they stopped a rapid rollout due to concern of a cost-benefit analysis done by Ernst & Young. And I've put a packet there with a lot of the information of the communities that have allowed for the analog option. And that's my testimony. Thank you very much.
Oh. I don't know, Dee, I don't know if there's any questions from committee. Okay. No, it looks like there's not. So thank you. Next up, Dave Sheldon. I've also been meeting with him regularly from Ferndale. He'd like 10 minutes. If you could do it in 8, I'll be real happy.
I'd like to thank you, first of all, Mr. McMillan, for arranging this hearing. I'm sure we all appreciate that. I'd like to say, first of all, why it is that we find it necessary to come to this kind of forum to talk about this issue. And the reason is because the MPSC, who would normally be handling this kind of issue, has ducked the issue so many times, again and again and again. As was pointed out earlier by Dominic Cusimano, there has never been a contested case hearing in which the MPSC has dealt with the issues that most of us are here for. There's never been a contested case in which they allowed evidence to be admitted to the record on the health effects, where they've allowed expert testimony on the health effects, where they've allowed testimony on the privacy issues or the safety issues, none of that. The only hearings that the MPSC has ever held have been on the question of costs and benefits, the supposed benefit to the utility customer and the costs that are going to be passed along. Now, I'd like to say, too, what I think almost everyone here would agree is what we're here for, and that is that we want to have the option to keep our analog meters, our traditional electromechanical analog meters. And there are several reasons why this is what we want and why we think we must have this. One of them is, once we accept a digital meter on our home, or a smart meter, or an opt-out meter, the transparency is gone. We no longer know for sure what that meter is doing. With the traditional analog meter, we can read it ourselves. We have a way to check on how much we're being charged for electricity. There's no question of it doing all these other things that it doesn't need to do. It simply measures our usage. So that is one of the reasons. The analog meter does not raise any health issues. It does not create radio transmissions, microwave transmissions. It does not put dirty electricity on our home wiring. It does not invade our privacy. For all of those reasons, we believe we must have the analog meter. Now, the other thing which I think probably most of the people here would agree on is that we should have the analog meter without having to pay opt-out fees. Opt-out fees are a form of extortion, we believe, because you shouldn't have to pay to preserve your health, and you shouldn't have to pay to preserve your privacy. If a private corporation can come in here and with a technology that they know has issues that may cause some of these problems, install it against our wills and then make us pay to get out from under it, that smacks of extortion. And we believe there should be no opt-out fees. Other things that we would like to see happen is that protections of an opt-out plan be extended to those who who live in apartment buildings or condominium buildings, because right now the so-called opt-out plan excludes those people. it's only for single-family homes. And finally, we believe it should be extended to small businesses, particularly doctor's offices, professional offices, because people who are electrosensitive, they should not have to fear going to the doctor because they're going to be exposed to microwave radiation that they managed to keep off their own house by joining an opt-out plan. okay, beyond that, we have the privacy issues that we're concerned with, we think rise to the level of being a violation of the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution and a similar provision in the Michigan Constitution. Why they raise to that level is because, in this case, I mean, the objection would normally be made, well, this is a private company doing this, it's not the government. However, there is well-established doctrine in a whole series of court cases that says if a private entity is doing the government's bidding at the government's request and is generating information that it then turns back to the government, then that private entity has become what they call in the law a state actor. And we believe that DTE and Consumers Energy and all the other utility companies in this country are behaving as state actors because they didn't come up with this on their own. It was the federal government through the Energy Policy Act of 2005, the Energy Independence Act of 2007, and the stimulus bill in 2009. These three pieces of federal legislation are what is driving all this. This is what caused private companies to push this because there was money on the table. They could get money and grants for doing this. They would come under criticism if they didn't do it. So the impetus for this is coming from government. And once this data is extracted from the home, it's no longer private. I mean, they talk about MPSC has got a so-called privacy policy. We don't believe that that is worth very much because once the data about our private activities in the home leaves our home and gets into a utilities database, it is no longer protected by the Fourth Amendment and is no longer protected by any warrant requirement. Government agents can freely access that data without a warrant. Furthermore, we believe that in time that data will be sold to third parties, such as banks, employers, and insurance companies. So that's the basis of our Fourth Amendment case. We also would note that one of the reasons we're here today is because public officials are not doing their job. The MPSC is not doing its job of policing the utility. They just say, we don't interfere with the utility's choice of meter. We don't interfere with the utility's business practices, and they walk away from it. We have in this state, I believe, a felony surveillance law that makes it a felony to attach a surveillance device to a private home without the owner's knowledge and consent. A number of our members have written to Attorney General Bill Schuette asking why is this law not being enforced, and the response that they got was to the effect that, number one, it's not a surveillance device, and number two, even if it is a surveillance device, you consented to it when you signed up for electric service. Well, excuse me, I didn't consent to that. Did anyone in this room consent to that?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We've got to address the committee.
Okay.
You got about 30 seconds or so.
All right. So, on the health issues, I have submitted today a packet of documentation. It's the testimony of Dr. David Carpenter, who's associated with the State University of New York. And it's sworn testimony that he created for me to submit to an MPSC hearing. The MPSC refused to hear it, and so I am submitting it here to this committee to get it on the record. Along with that, there is a statement attached to that, Exhibit 1, which is a statement signed by 45 doctors and scientists from all over the world about the harm of electromagnetic radiation and smart meters in particular. So I would like the committee to take due account of this document. I've submitted 15 copies, and I think that concludes my statement.
All right. Thank you, David. Is there any questions? I know, and I should mention that I wanted to give you additional time because you are the founder of Michigan Stop Smart Meters.
Is that's that right? Correct.
Yeah. And is that MichiganStopSmartMeters.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Because I forgot to say that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm sorry. Representative Robinson.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for appearing today at this hour. Your persistence is admirable. The question of the smart meter, geographically, where are they being installed in Michigan, if you know?
Where are they being installed? Well, they're being installed by the two largest utilities, DTE, formerly Detroit Edison, throughout southeastern Michigan, and they plan to install for their entire customer base, which is 2.2 million meters, and they're about halfway through that process. On the other side of the state, Consumers plans to install them throughout its territory. So there's only going to be small pockets here and there that are served by smaller electric companies or by municipal utilities that may not be getting the smart meters.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Do you know is the DTE guy? Okay, are they? Oh, okay. Yeah, Bob Sitkoskis and Joe McCormick. If you. Oh, okay. They're in the overflow room. Well, maybe while, let's see, while they're coming over, Abigail Noble, if you want to come forward. Oh, wait, okay. They're here. Can I give them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
absolutely.
I'm sorry, Abigail. You
no
go
problem.
Next.
No
okay.
Problem.
All right. Bob Sitkoskis?
Sitkoskis, yes.
Okay. And John McCormick. Joe McCormick.
Joe.
Okay. And you're with DTE. Appreciate you guys coming. If you wanted to, you've been watching the overflow, and you know that we've got people that are concerned about the smart meters, and if you could give us about a five-minute testimony to just let us know whatever you'd like to let us know about the smart meter program or some of the concerns. I think there might be questions as well.
Okay. Joe's handed out a couple items our presentation today, which will be, of course, we'll shorten it up for the conversation time, as well as I've given you a study from the Arizona study public health area. It was a report just done in October. I'd ask you to look at, if you can, page 1, the goals of that study, and page 24 and 25, the conclusions of that study. They did do studies of health effects, as well as did the studies of impacts at apartment buildings and single residences, so they were separate entities. For you, for your information, we have installed 2.1 million electric meters and modules throughout the territory. It is the whole state. Inside the United States, you'll have 50 million meters installed by the end of 2016. That's covering 43% of the households, so they're across the nation. Over 30 million have been installed in Europe, and essentially Canada's done at this time. We have installed Oakland, Washtenaw, and Western Wayne counties. We are in Macomb, Detroit, Downriver counties right now installing the meters right as we continue. Again, that meter is a property of DT Energy. We have installed these digital meters for many years, and we have not even purchased analog meters since 2007. The advanced meters that we do have all comply with all federal requirements, IRF, and whatever commission we have. As to support for the benefits, they do provide us actual reading every day. We're reading meters every day right now as opposed to monthly. I will tell you right now, if you took it last year when we had the storms here in January, February, and March, our manual read rate those 3 months last year was 91%, 75%, and 87%. That's of the meters that were still not automated. The automated meters we read at 99.5% all 3 months. So, again, the effect of getting a customer with an actual read is what we really want to do here. There are other items on these meters that make them advanced. They can tell us when there's out of power at the house. Doesn't tell us why you lost power, because it will have the fact that there could be a wire down in the backyard. We don't know that. We just know that it has lost power. There is the ability to do a remote disconnect and reconnect. We'd only do that within case of any billing rules, or more so we've done it from custom requests. And recently, back in August with all the floods in the Detroit area, we had customers, 17 of customers, call us and ask us to disconnect their power in their basement so they go downstairs in a flooded basement. We never even thought of that as a benefit, and it's one I don't want to have to use because I don't want flooded basements, but at the same time, it did help us. We've also had police fire departments call us with a gunman situation a couple times, and we're also working closely with our peer utility consumers in case there's a gas leak and we need to shut off electric power as well. So we're using that disconnect switch much more than just on any collection issue. Again, crews can see the data from their trucks now, so linemen and trucks can see the outages that are on their trucks on maps. Something we put in there along the way, provisioning that. Some other items for you to know about the meters. They're all manufactured in the United States. South Carolina is where they're actually manufactured. The installers are all local Michigan companies. They carry full identification. They will not enter a home unless there is an adult present, so we won't go inside a home in that case. Again, it's both the meters are treated as improper DT Energy property. It's both unsafe and against state law to fail to allow access to, block, tamper, or remove that meter. That is according to the law. Any resident on opt-outs, I'll tell you that. Any residential customer can opt out. I think Mr. Sheldon said the apartments cannot opt out. The total apartment complex cannot opt out, but any individual who has a bill in his name can opt out. Again, there's a fee for that. Okay. No. On the analogs, I'll tell you this. It's a business decision of DT Energy. Where our old meter's age when we start to replace meters was 24 and a half years old. So you look at that age of our meters in that respect. The analogs are not being manufactured today from the major utilities, major vendors. We have not bought since 2007 any analog meters. And if you look at it, it is part of an economy of scale. They have one meter in the system. Sorry, I don't know how much time it takes. You're going to probably cut me off.
Well, you've got a minute and a half.
Okay. Again, a couple of things. The new technology will allow customers to see their usages. And, again, they can see it online. They take that as their option, so it's up to them to do it. We have a new application called DT Energy Insight. The customer chooses it by himself. It's an option. He can actually see his half-hour use if he wants to, or minute use. Keeping your time in place. No fires have been started by a DTE-installed meter. There is no way that I would, as a customer and an employee of DT Energy, install an unsafe meter of any sort. I ask you to look at that Arizona report, pages 13 and 14. You'll see a long table of different agencies and states and governments where that's been reviewed for health and safety. And you'll often see the word no or disproved in those columns. I'd ask you to look at that. On data privacy, same as we've done for 100 years, we really restrict ourselves to the privacy. We do not sell that data. I've had water utilities ask me to get data for shutoffs. We won't give it to them. So we do not sell that data. I've got to say that straightforward. As the meters being surveillance devices, we are gathering whole house power. So we're seeing what's being used at the total kilowatt hours used at that home. Smart appliances may be there in the future. I don't know. But I'm trying to install 2 million electric meters and surely don't want to control 2 million refrigerators or something like that. Again, on the time of, I'll go to my page on density and frequency. The advanced meter RF usage is well below many household devices in sense of RF density, Wi-Fis, cell phones, microwaves, walkie-talkies. I'd ask you to look in the book we gave you before, the Advanced Meter Infrastructure book, and go to, again, Section 4. There's a study there, about 47,000 meters being tested in California. It's on the last page of Section 4. 99.5% of those meters communicate at less than 3 minutes per day. Again, look at that page. It would help you understand it. We fully meet all FCC maximum permissible exposure levels. In fact, those are with safety levels on top of them for the nation. Okay. Again, when you look at the meters themselves, when they're outside a home, there's another seal of the house itself around it. Plus, when you rate RF density against a person, it is a whole body exposure. And as you move further away from the meter, the RF density, of course, decreases.
Just 30 seconds. If you could,
I pushed that page for you, sir.
All right, good. Anything else? Oh, okay, you're done. Okay, great. No, thank you for your testimony. I've got some questions. I had sent a couple letters, and I think I'd sent it to Joe, so I don't know if you can answer if you're ready. Have you turned off any customers' power due to noncompliance with advanced meter opt-out program or because they refused to allow you to install to swap out their analog meter?
No, sir.
Okay. Have you? Okay. I mean, there's a citizen up in Clarkson, I think she's here, who said that she tried to insert. I guess you guys had installed a smart meter. She took that out and wanted to put in an analog. Is that an instance where you shut somebody off?
Let me explain that, because in that particular case, I think it's this customer. I don't know for sure, but either way, against tampering and theft, if you take out our meter and replace it with a different meter, it is probably going to set you up for being shut off. Yes, sir. It's kind of like going into Kroger's and telling them you want them to use the old weigh scale that went back and forth with an arrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to make sure that that would be the instance. But otherwise, somebody's saying, I don't want you on my property, you're not shutting people off for that. Because they did get letters about a month ago saying that you were likely to, but you have not done that yet?
Very, very correctly. They did get letters, and it's within our pretense to do that.
Right.
We're trying to work with every customer as much as we can to accept the AMI meter or the opt-out. However, if the situation prevails, it's going to be a shutoff.
Okay. So you haven't done it yet, but you intend to?
We need a new electric company.
We continue to work with the customer as best we can, but we have told the customers that they are likely to be, they could be shut off. Yes, sir.
Okay. And would you... I mean, if this is somebody that's an elderly person in their 90s and it's, 10 degrees below zero, and, I mean, you would contemplate shutting them off.
Mr. McMillan, I'm a customer myself. I would work everywhere effort we could with that customer. So,
but ultimately, you might shut them off.
If that is the rule, we'd have to follow the rule, yes, sir.
Okay. And then what other actions do you, in other states I've seen, the utility company get the police to escort them onto the property. Are you contemplating those kind of actions in order to swap out the analog meter?
I would hope we'd never have to do that in any confrontational level, sir.
So that's not, you don't have any intention to do that?
I cannot answer you at this time. I don't know what confrontation we're having.
But you can't say that you won't?
No, I could not say I would not.
Okay, all right. What harm is there in just letting people keep their analog meter? What would be the harm in that?
Again, we look at the principle of rate regulations.
I'm sorry.
Again, we look at the principle of rate making. Again, that meter is a choice of ours for business decisions. It does promote technology for us. The meter is, again, average age 24 and a half years old, not being manufactured today. If you keep two meters in the system, it causes a lot of extra inventory carrying costs, secondary testing for different meter types, as we test meters on a regular basis. And then on top of that, any sort of technology systems you have, I always have to have an if statement around what type of meter it's working with. So that causes another level of cost that, in the end, could be promoted to customers through rate base.
Okay. And then you say that it's not manufactured. What happens to those states that have decided to not go forward with smart meters and are going to keep analog? I would imagine they're going to have new construction or they're going to get old. I mean, are you saying that nowhere in the nation these are analog meters are being manufactured?
At the major manufacturer level, they are not. They are not
anywhere.
They are not producing analog meters.
Nobody.
We've been buying digital meters since before 2007, sir.
Okay. And then I've read articles about Wall Street from the Wall Street Journal, New York Times. I really honestly cannot figure out what you're saying in your testimony is that as far as these smart chips and smart appliances, that there's no communication ever and non-contemplated with a smart meter?
I cannot address that whatsoever on the smart chips to an appliance, sir, because I'm not in the manufacturing business of smart chips for appliances.
No, but I mean, what's your intent? I mean, I would think you're putting these things in. What can they do?
I really don't know what that capacity would be. That's a future item.
No, I just mean the smart meter that you're installing. What is there? Is there an ability to accept information other than just what is going in as a complete load for the household?
We're receiving the whole house power through that meter. So we're not receiving
one number, or is it
one number, sir? It's not per appliance,
so
none whatsoever.
You're saying your testimony is a smart meter has no ability to communicate with, and never will, or the current ones that you've installed don't have any.
The way we are installing it, that is correct, sir.
I didn't know. Okay. Any questions from committee members? Representative Robinson.
Comment the way we're installing it. But what is the potential capacity for acquiring information from the home? I mean, there's potential for greater information gathering, isn't there?
I imagine in the future technology will take a different approach, and there could be something different, but I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Hey, please, I appreciate you folks respecting the people that are testifying. Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of things. One, with regard to the meter attached to the house, and if for a need, if there is such a need for the radio frequency, but could it be done with an antenna higher above the home? One, and two, what is the need other than the grid, you know, the smart grid that you know, and there's questions about that, but the reason for bursts of activity or signals other than once, you know, the old meter reader used to come by once a month. What would be wrong with just sending a signal once a month? I mean, why does it have to be constant? I mean, you would answer, well, that feeds the smart grid and all that, correct?
Or? There is a lot. Yeah, in the end, we'll be able to know what a load is on a not in the end, we're doing it today, what the load is on a particular transformer. So we know if we've undersized a transformer or somebody turns on a welder and causes low voltage at a home. Now with the ability to see that on a regular and immediate basis, we can make a better infrastructure for the system. I forgot your first question was the antenna. We will move meters at customers' cost to an off-site area. If they want to put it in their backyard. Customers have moved meters or asked us to move them to 30, 40 feet away from their home. The customer did pay for that because it was, again, an extra cost. But that is possible.
Thank you. And I just wanted to also make sure you're saying that 43% of households currently
make sure I told you the right number, Mr. McMillan.
Was that U.S.?
More than 50 million advanced meters have been deployed across the country, and they cover 43% of the U.S. homes. 65 million meters were deployed by the end of 2015, with 20 states having installed at least 50% of their sites.
Okay. So there is...
that's from a study that was done last year.
And are you familiar that there are states that are allowing people to keep their analog meters or are stopping the installation? I mean... are you familiar with that?
In the sense of the analog meters, yes, there are some states that have. I do not know what their particular situation is with respect to their costs and their installation, so I can't answer any further than having the same knowledge you just got about them being there or not there.
Okay. But, I mean, somehow the sky hasn't fallen for them. I mean, they're running normally, and it just seems, you know, I mean, it does seem like it's possible. I mean, this is not something you have to do. And as a monopoly, you know, people don't have an option. I mean, are you not supportive of electric choice and allowing people to have 100% choice, I would imagine. So, I mean, you do need to understand we wouldn't really be having this if there was a lot of choice and other companies were available to people to.
Well, again, we have to, as a public utility, provide to each and every customer the most efficient and cost-effective level of service. So I make every effort to reduce cost to help our customers. And this technology does take us a step forward from where we had been in the past.
Okay. Any further? All right, seeing none, thank you very much. Abigail Noble, if you wanted to come up. Go ahead.
Chairman McMillan, members of the committee, and guests, thank you very much for the opportunity to address this issue. I'm speaking on my own behalf as a bachelor's prepared nurse of 25 years experience, a student of public policy, and an advocate for first principles. At the core of this issue are three governing principles contributing to the state's interests in this issue. They are based upon the government's role to secure individual rights to life, liberty, and property. In brief, the state's interests are: one, that prosperity depends upon easy access to efficient, low-cost energy. This is also the perspective argued by the utility companies. I am all for efficiency, but the argument loses its potency to the extent that smart meters are subsidized by our federal tax dollars. Two, the state's interests are to see that Michigan citizens know themselves to be safe and secure in their own homes. This is the concern raised by many of the citizens present today. Three, the state's interests are to have a healthy citizenry who not only produce more, but will cost less on the public rolls. You have heard testimony that smart meters are perfectly safe, and you've heard opposing testimony, you will hear more, that they pose serious risk. It can be argued that the presence of this disparity is in itself an argument for a hold on implementation pending further study and safety improvement. I suggest that the purpose of this hearing is not to make a final determination on the question of safety. Regardless of who may be proven right in the end, there is no doubt that there are Michigan citizens who strongly believe that smart meters are harmful to their health. As a nurse, I cannot discount this belief for two reasons, both of which are supported by science. Completely aside from the science regarding smart meter safety, first, because of the body-mind connection, psychosomatic effects are real and fairly generally known, though experienced by a minority of the population. The second impact of individual belief in the harm of smart meters is much greater and more general. 80% of our health is individually controlled and must be. No one else can exercise for us, eat and sleep right, cease from smoking, drink in moderation, etc. No one can grant us the full benefit of individual initiative and self-determination required for a moderate lifestyle. It is my argument, therefore, that the state should take every measure to prioritize and protect individual autonomy. The interest of the state is in a strong-minded, healthy citizenry, and that demands it. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions? Dominic and Lillian Cusmano. And you folks were interveners, if I remember right. I don't know if there's others, but I don't know if you're going to share that, but I remember going to the first hearing and testifying regarding smart meters, and I think there was seven or eight individuals, maybe a few more, that seemed to want to be interveners and participate. I think you folks were part of that. So yeah. Go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Representative McMillan, and committee members for scheduling this very important hearing for the citizens of Michigan. My name is Dominic Cusimano, and we are pleased that Representative McMillan, that you have shown the support of the Michigan residents and could come together to discuss this critical situation. We appreciate your leadership on this basis. It is heartfelt. What I would like to do is give you a synopsis of what has happened to my wife and I since 2012. bringing you up to date on how we got involved in the situation, how it has been evolved and escalated by Detroit Edison, and where we stand today. All of this never would have taken place if there wasn't an installation of a smart meter on our house. Thousands and thousands of hours have been put forth in this effort. In November 2012, my wife was starting to show symptoms, flu-type symptoms, and feeling sick. We had no idea what this was, and this was at a secondary home that we owned. When we would leave that home and we would go elsewhere, she'd feel fine. When we would go back to that house, she would feel nauseous and all types of flu symptoms. To make a long story short, we were talking to somebody at a Christmas party just at the end of 2012. They said, "I bet you have a smart meter installed in your house." We said, "No way. Don't know. It's impossible." We never got notified of it, and the company can't do that on our own personal house without our permission. We were builders for years. Your house is your castle. We went and checked the meter, and sure enough, in northern Oakland County, they had deployed 800,000 of these meters with very little knowledge of anybody in Oakland County at the time. They said that they sent out a form letter, which we had not received, and it was installed. We gave them 21-day notice to remove the meter because my wife was continuously getting sick when we were there. They told us that they weren't going to do that and that we were just going to have that meter. At the end of the 21 days, I removed the meter. I bought an analog meter online, put it on the house, and therefore, after a period of about 1 month, we were sued in the Oakland County Circuit Court by Detroit Edison. My wife was a paralegal, and I've been a marketing person most of my life. We've handled this case going on 3 years against Detroit Edison. The reason that we've been able to handle this without an attorney in the circuit court is because the bottom line is what's right is right and wrong is wrong. When we first initially went into the court, DTE did not have a tariff in place to do that in Oakland County. They had a pilot program that was on Gross Hill, and they went ahead and started deploying these meters elsewhere after that with an implied consent from the MPSC, as far as we could find out at that time. As time went on, we continued to fight the situation in the circuit court, and we became interveners here in Lansing on the opt-out case. DTE said our judge had put our case on stay until the opt-out was figured out. When the opt-out was figured out, which we were interveners on, and we had a real first-hand look at what a sham the opt-out really was, DTE had literally taken the definition of option out and had changed it to modification. Originally, in the dictionary, it means to escape. Now it means to modify. And then they turned around and they offered us, you can opt out, but you're going to get the same meter. Okay, you can opt out, but you're going to get the same meter. And from there forth, we went ahead and we appealed the case in the circuit court as five others have. And that's where we stand today. Our case is on stay, and we are waiting for a decision from the Court of Appeals. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. I would like to extend a special thank you to you, Mr. Chairman, Representative McMillan, for helping to move in a positive direction for the citizens of Michigan. And thank you to the honorable representatives for appearing at this hearing today. There is a lot today to consider, and we are looking at it very, very critically. Myself and others are here to oppose smart meters. The forced installment of smart meters is putting the citizens of Michigan in a very precarious position. Our liberties are at risk. They are being forced under self-protection to safeguard their health, their safety, and their privacy. I, for one, had to do exactly that. I got very sick when the smart meter was installed on our home. Detroit Edison put the smart meter on our home without our implied consent and without notification of a meter swap. I got sick, and I have never before the smart meter was installed have I had any medical history or routine medical conditions. I have not been treated for any recurring health complications. I now have electromagnetic sensitivity from electromagnetic frequencies and pulsed radiation. My endocrine system was affected from the installation of the smart meter. I have a medical doctor from, excuse me, I have a medical letter from my doctor stating I should not have a smart meter on my home. I have developed adverse health effects that are directly attributed to the installation of the smart meter. My doctor understands electromagnetic frequencies, radio frequencies, and health issues. My doctor has a child who has autism. She is very astute with this issue. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I would like to present letters of testimony and ask that they be submitted and entered into the record. At this time, I would like to present additional letters from the citizens of patients and professionals in the medical community who have documented their concerns and noted adverse health effects that are directly attributed to the installation of the smart meter, who have further indicated their patients should not have smart meters installed on their home. You will hear their voices today, and some will address you personally with their concerns. I thought the committee would benefit from hearing from someone who provided their direct patient care to the children, to seniors, and those afflicted with physical challenges, and these individuals are being affected by smart meters. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I would like to present testimony by experts in the medical and scientific field and ask that they be submitted and entered into the record. The experts are, and they are being presented in alphabetical order, Dr. David Carpenter, who is Director, Institute for Health and the Environment, University of Albany Public Health Physician and former Dean of the School of Public Health at the University of Albany, and he is co-editor of the Both Bioinitiative Report. Dr. Paula Davey, Doctor of Internal Medicine, Gastroenterology and Environmental Medicine. Dr. Amy Dean, past president of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, AAEM, and she is a practicing board-certified environmental physician who is presently treating patients who developed health problems after a smart meter was installed on their homes. Jerry Flynn is a retired electronic warfare and signals intelligence officer with 22 years' experience working with American, international, and NATO forces. Dr. Magda Havas is Associate Professor of Environmental and Resource Studies at Trent University, where she teaches and does research on the biological effects of environmental contaminants and authored a section in the Bioinitiative Report. Dr. Sam Milham, retired physician and epidemiologist, expert in EMF exposure for over 30 years, and has over 100 peer-reviewed scientific publications. Here, too, is Dr. Dr. Hillman, and he will be testifying with his own testimony. And we have Sharon Noble, expert representing fires from installation of smart meters in BC. Dr. Ronald Powell is a retired career U.S. government scientist, Ph.D., Applied Physics, Harvard University, 1975. David Stetzer has military training and extensive experience with thermography, power quality and analyzers, electrician with a specialized background and experience in electronics. Jerome Johnson, MS Civil and Engineer, Environmental Engineer. Barry Trower presenting a report and understanding of Wi-Fi. These experts present irrefutable statement of facts relating to the installation of smart meters and the need to abate deployment of smart meters, and also who have specialized in the area of health and science. Lastly, we will be presenting safety issues dealing with fires that are noteworthy and shares grave concern. There have been fires in Detroit DTE territory suspected of being smart meter related pending litigation. Currently, the fires are known in Livonia and Detroit. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I would like the information pertaining to fires be presented before the hearing today and ask that they be submitted into and entered into the record. In closing, there are 5 points. Unless we take meaningful action, and soon, our health, safety, and security could be jeopardized, and our economy will be crippled. And we need to realize, unless we do more to ensure our own protection for the health and safety of human life, plant, and animal life, we may have no way to prevent a crisis going forward. And the next time around, you won't be able to reverse it. You cannot disregard the intense 24/7, 365 pulsed microwave radiation, and the SARS test did not include smart meter routers, relays, collectors, tower antennas, and other wireless infrastructure radiating large geographical areas to communicate with wireless devices. They only took the smart meter as an end device. When you incorporate the errors and the omissions in safety, you have biological plausibility, which links the frequencies to adverse health effects.
Okay.
We know today it takes a very comprehensive approach to an increasingly complex set of challenges, and I believe it is worthy of your support and this committee's support. We suggest the installation of the smart meters are too radical. The dangers of smart meters pose imminent danger to human life and human health, and the need to abate the installation of smart meters at no charge to the customer is of critical consideration. Today we have presented ideas to fix this problem, and we should consider them fairly, just as we expect and pray that you will consider ours. You need to be engaged in the health risk before it is too late. It is important to continue to attract and retain the Michigan residents. And to close, I thank you for your consideration and for giving me the time to speak to you with an honest heart and with great compassion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any questions? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for your testimony. Certainly you can submit those documents. And, again, you're somebody who feels that logically the only explanation for your health, the effects on your health were a smart meter is what you're saying.
Correct. Correct.
And you have a doc?
I do. I have all the medical evidence has been submitted.
Okay.
In the binders.
Very good.
I have all the doctors that I recited on the record that are part of your record to see their expertise.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve while we're waiting? I do want the next folks to come up will be from Consumers Energy, Lisa DeLacy and Dennis McKay. As they're coming up, is there a motion by Representative Kelly to approve the minutes from earlier today? So moved. Hearing no objection, the minutes are approved. And is there a motion to excuse absent members? Representative Kelly?
So moved.
So moved. Hearing no objection, absent members are excused.
Any questions?
Yeah. Oh, we got more.
Any questions?
Pardon?
Can anyone have any questions?
No.
Okay.
No. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Dennis and Lisa, thank you for attending. You've heard a little bit. I'll let you. You got 5 minutes if you want to address any of what you've heard. If you want to talk about, add on to what DTE mentioned, anything you'd like, the floor is yours.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee for this opportunity to testify today. My name is Lisa DeLacy, and I'm the Executive Director of the Smart Energy Program at Consumers Energy. With me is Dennis McKee, an External Communications Director for Smart Energy, who has firsthand experience with our customer outreach efforts throughout our service territory. I am proud of Consumers Energy's investment in Michigan, and I am excited to be a part of the Smart Energy Program, which is a foundational element to serving our customers better now and into the future. Right now, a customer with a smart meter can monitor their usage through a web portal and be alerted to higher than normal usage, putting control in the hands of the customer. Right now, we can remotely reconnect a customer that has been disconnected for non-pay, providing much quicker service restoration than with a conventional meter. Right now, we are improving bill accuracy through the elimination of estimated meter reads. In the future, we will know when a customer is out of power without a call to our call center. In the future, we will be able to move quickly to diagnose outages, providing quicker restoration for our customers. With smart meters as the foundation, in the future, we have the possibility to serve our customers in ways we have not even thought of. Currently, we have more than 350,000 meters installed in the Muskegon, Zeeland, and Grand Rapids areas. The installation program runs through 2017, when at its completion, we will have updated our meter technology for our 1.8 million electric customers and about 600,000 of our natural gas customers. My testimony today will focus on our technology, our customer communications, and our option for customers who have concerns about smart meters. Although we began installing smart meters in 2012, this program really began several years earlier with researching and choosing the best option for our customers. Based on that research, we selected a point-to-point cellular technology, which significantly reduces the concern about radio wave radiation. The text message type communications from the meters are encrypted and coded before they are sent securely through our Verizon network from the meter to our Smart Meter Operations Center in Jackson, Michigan. Our meters do not communicate with each other as with a mesh network, and they do not communicate personal customer information. No names, no addresses, no customer account numbers. Once a day, there is a text message that is sent that includes the energy delivered to the customer for each hour, as well as meter alarms and events, such as a low battery alarm or a high operating temperature alert. It is also important to note that consumption data is an aggregate at the meter and not on individual appliances or devices, similar to what Mr. Sakakis said earlier. Our communication strategy is a multi-phase approach and includes outreach to customers through media, public events, direct mail, our company website, and our dedicated smart energy call center representatives. Our process starts early with outreach events about 1 year before installations begin. Then, as we get closer to installation, we begin direct customer communications. So about 1 month out, and you'll see this in the packets that you got, a customer will receive a postcard. And then about 2 weeks before the installation, they will receive a letter that includes a lot of important information, including what the person is going to look like that's going to replace the meter.
Got about 1 minute.
Thank you. We recently added a customer call about 1 week before the installation, and on the day of the installation, we'll leave either a green card if the installation was successful and a blue card if we had an exchange did not occur, and we'll leave the reason why. We are proud of our communication process, and our customers are responding as measured by customer satisfaction. In fact, satisfaction levels have grown in Muskegon, Zeeland, and Grand Rapids, and our customers are now 50% more likely to recommend our company to family and friends. While the overwhelming majority of our customers are excited about the opportunity smart meters will bring, we have an option for customers who do not want a communicating meter. The manual meter reading program is available to customers. Only 0.5% of our customers have enrolled in the manual meter reading program. I'd like to recognize the MPSC for their extensive research and analysis in response to customer concerns with smart meters, specifically their work in the Smart Grid Collaborative Report and the U17000 docket. Their conclusion that our meter technology is beneficial, safe, and secure is representative of similar investigations by other states. I've also brought with me the Public Utilities Commission of Texas report, if you are interested in that. Again, for those customers who have concerns, we will utilize a non-communicating meter, meaning a meter without a communication chip, to be read manually by a meter reader, In conclusion, I am proud of the contributions of the Smart Energy team and the truly transformational nature of this program. I'm also proud of the customer support that we have experienced, and I look forward to the possibility of the future with smart meters as the foundation. At Consumers Energy, we are working hard to provide energy that works smarter for our customers. Thank you.
Thank you. Dennis, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Oh, just have a couple of documents that we will give you. You've probably seen U-17000 from the MPSC and the document that Lisa referenced, the Public Utilities Commission from the state of Texas, similar to how other states have listened to the issues that have been brought up today, investigated them, and determined that the meter technology that we're utilizing and similar systems are safe and beneficial to customers.
Okay. The smart meter the same, similar to DTE's smart meter, or do you know the ones you guys are putting in?
Our smart meters utilize a cellular technology,
okay.
So it is a point-to-point. So from the smart meter to the cell tower, point-to-point. So our meter does not connect to or talk to another meter to make the jump to the tower, so it's point-to-point. And then also a difference in our opt-out program is that our meter that we're installing doesn't even have the communication chip. So that those are two differences.
Okay. So then, if somebody wants it to be non-communicating, and it currently is, does somebody have to go out there and remove?
You would exchange the smart meter for a non-communicating meter. That's correct.
Okay. And then I guess I'd like to just ask a few of the questions I had asked DTE.
Sure.
Have you turned anybody off due to noncompliance with, for example, not allowing you on their property, anything like that?
No, we have not.
Have you had any experiences where somebody had the smart meter installed and they swapped it out for an analog, they went and bought it themselves and put it in?
I'm not aware of that happening in our system yet.
Okay. If they did, would that be grounds for being turned off?
I wouldn't say that right away, and I don't want to speculate on the circumstances, but I think that we would try to work with the customer first.
Are you planning on, if somebody does not want you to come onto their property to swap out the meter, are you planning on turning them off eventually?
Not planning on that, no. Again, we have a communication plan that has been successful so far. And then, again, if the customer really wants not to have a smart meter, we have the opt-out program.
Okay. Are there any questions from the committee? Oh, Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Lacey. You twice alluded to these meters being the foundation for future programs. And something that, I mean, the potential is so great, or I should paraphrase you, but like there's some great potential for the future of this mm-hmm. technology. Could you give us an example of what this great technology will be in these programs?
Yes. Presently, we have programs such as pay-as-you-go that are slated. We don't have them yet. We're a little bit further behind than DTE is with their deployment and installation. That would allow a customer to use electricity as kind of like a parking meter. So they would pay so much, and then they would, if their money ran out, their power would turn off, then they would kind of re-up the thing. There's a certain customer segment that would be interested to manage their electricity in that regard.
So this is the great potential of this technology.
I would not say that's the greatest potential, but anything that helps our customers, we're interested to explore.
Now, you've heard concerns about the invasion of privacy. Now, this chip that's put in to these meters, is there a potential for eavesdropping or any kind of invasion of the privacy of the people who live in the home?
No.
Recording their conversations? Or
as far as data privacy, so in addition to our own corporate policies on that, we also have a data privacy tariff filed with the MPSC.
But this technology is capable of doing that.
I would say that this technology is capable to do that if the customer chooses that option on their own. It is not with a utility program.
Okay, any further questions? I guess the question that I posed to DT, I mean, what's the harm of letting somebody keep their analog meter?
I think the customer, if they choose not to have a smart meter, we have an option for them I think the thing that they would do without is all the customer programs that we are going to have available and the control about how they're using their electricity. So they will not.
I mean, if they don't want that, you know, if they don't want that, they just want to have an analog meter for whatever reason. I mean, what would be the harm in that? What's that?
Right now, as Lisa mentioned previously, we don't know how much electricity a customer uses unless we put a person in a vehicle, drive to that person's house, walk up the driveway, look at the house, and read the meter. The meter technology now sends us a text message letting us know how much electricity each customer has used. That's going to help us to control our costs going forward. For folks who aren't interested in online access to their energy use information, the outage management system improvements are significant so that when people are away and their power is out, we'll actually know that their power is out and can work to restore their power efficiently before they get home and even know that they've got a basement full of floating furniture if their sump pump is out or a freezer full of stinky meat. So we're doing what we can to provide energy smarter for our customers. We also in the future will have a time of use pricing program talking about some of the programs that you are interested in. Right now some people think that if they wash their laundry at midnight, they're somehow going to get a lower rate for their electricity. If they're gone all day, come home and use their electricity mostly during off-peak times, when it's less expensive for us to generate power, they think today that they may save costs, but in actuality, that program isn't in place for our residential customers yet. Our business customers have access to that sort of program, and they enjoy it and they utilize it. We'll have a program in the future that people can enroll in if they want to. So if they want to purchase electricity at off-peak times at a price lower than what our normal costs are, that will be available in the future. We'll have other programs as well that may be helpful.
Okay. But when you mentioned that, you know, you would have to send somebody out to read the meter, if they opt for the opt-out, and they have a smart meter but they opt out of the communication, they can do that now, right? I mean, don't you have to send somebody out to read the meter at that point also?
We have, we expect 97% coverage across the entire state for our ability to read meters. If there are some locations where the cellular network is not robust enough for us to read meters in those locations, we're planning on having those areas where we're going to have meter readers go out and have to read those meters due to non-communicating meters. If folks choose to not have a communicating meter and they keep a digital non-communicating meter, then, of course, we have the expense of sending out somebody to read that meter ongoing.
Right. And so, I mean, but and we can talk about the expense, but as far as the plausibility, that would be no different than if they were coming out to read an analog meter. They're going to go out to read a non-communicating meter. They're going to read.
Now I understand your question. The reason that we're replacing the analog meters is because they are electromechanical meters that have parts that wear out over time, and there's better technology that is a digital technology without communicating. So we've been upgrading, Consumers Energy has been upgrading our analog meters to digital meters for 10 years. This has been going on for a long time. So it's the next technology. And now the smart meters with the communicating technology, with the ability to contact us when there are power outages, to provide customers online access to their energy use information, that's the next technology that can help us to serve our customers better.
Okay. But if a customer didn't want that, they have no option. It's you or nothing, right? I mean, there's no, you guys aren't, don't have competition.
I'm glad that we are reliable, and
okay,
we are the reliable service provider to our entire customer service territory.
Right. I just want to—I mean, that's why we're here again. Is that you know, you're a monopoly. I mean, otherwise, if you had competition, one of your competition might allow analogs, and you'd have to deal with that.
We have a responsibility to serve everybody in our service territory.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony and for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next up will be, and by the way, I've got a lot of folks who don't want to speak right here. I will probably read, I'll be reading in their names as the next person is coming up. I'm going to have a couple other people, and then I'm going to bring the MPSC. There's a couple of people here from the MPSC that will testify as well. Karen, let's see, is this, Karen Spranger? Is Karen here? Okay.
Karen Spranger from the City of Warren. I was also one of the interveners for the State of Michigan. And I have to say that that process did not totally was fair. It has an edge a representation that was only biased. The 17,000 report study was selective. They chose the studies that proved their point of interest. The other reports were omitted. That's why I believe when I was representing my interest for my concerns on these issues, there's always a coin, heads and tails. But what is a fact? What is evidence? What is happening? Now, on the DTE Foundation site, they had a map. They had a plan. 2017's not even here. 2025's not even here. And the whole world, not only the United States, but the world is going to convert to this new technology. This is called pollution in the air. How are we going to fly the airplanes? How are they going to keep the birds in the air? When they're dying because of the radio frequency sound, it's odorless. You don't hear it. But it cooks your body, the neurological body. The DNA cannot be repaired. The WHO organization testified that it's carcinogenic, causes cancer, and we have to live with 3 meters? Now, my situation is unique. I live in the city where they didn't go through procedures or the zoning department or the planning commission. It was just the mayor and the water department to get the grant money, started a program in 2008, didn't have the money. So in 2012, they implemented a program to do water meters. And they're smart meters because they fit the criteria. But the local government is different from the utility companies because they own it themselves. They regulate it themselves. They don't have a system of a complaint system. When you don't pay your bill, it goes on your taxes. So you can have a bill of $1,000, $2,000 for a couple of years and never pay your water bill. Now, that's ludicrous. It was also ludicrous when you had a $33,000 water bill presented to city council because the foreclosure home, they didn't get out there to turn the water off. So here's the heads and here's the tails. Inefficiency, no accountability. When you give money to the local government to spend on projects, there's no check and balances. They can spend $9 million and not be accountable for one penny that you or the federal government provides. And when the state has the hand in the cookie jar and they don't want to hear the concerns of the health and safety, which our Constitution guarantees all homeowners who own homes, who live in their homes, it's called a castle. Utility company can get away with it? So I have to live without water. I have to give myself credit because I'm in the Court of Appeals because the assessor over-accessed my property, decided to take a fee away because I don't have water in my house, and I'm in the Court of Appeals. They heard the oral argument. I'm waiting for a decision. Now I'm in foreclosure. They can't do a foreclosure because I'm still in the courts waiting for a decision. But the county is doing illegal things, and I'm fighting the best I can. I don't have enough money to afford an attorney, and that is appalling for a low-income family, for myself, and I have to do everything myself, write the briefs, go see attorneys that will give free service to low-income families, and I did the best I can 3 times in the Court of Appeals. I'm waiting for decisions to save my house just because they turned the water off.
Sad.
Right. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Next up would be Michelle Economou Ureste. And is somebody else coming up?
I was told to come up with Michelle.
Kathy?
Yes, okay. Kathy Warris.
Kathy Warris, yes.
Good evening. Thank you, committee members, for the late night hearing. I'm Michelle Economo-Uresti, West Bloomfield Township Supervisor. I'm in the middle of my second four-year term, and this is the first time I've attended a hearing. In my opinion, this health and safety issue is the most important issue in Lansing. On November 17, 2014, the West Bloomfield Township Board of Trustees unanimously adopted a resolution in support of an opt-out program for residential advanced meter programs. Substantial medical testimony will be heard today from some of my West Bloomfield Township residents who are sensitive to electromagnetic frequency and suffer from debilitating side effects such as insomnia, headache, sharp pain and pressure in the head, fatigue, dizziness, blood sugar spikes, and nausea. We are already subjected to EMFs from a variety of sources, including daily cell phone usage, microwave ovens, and the rapid expansion of telecommunication signals being added to utility poles due to no regulations. We may choose to take minimal risk in using microwave ovens over conventional stoves. We may choose to use a cell phone rather than a landline, but there has been no choice for Michigan residents in the installation of high-frequency strength advanced meters over analog meters by DTE into our homes. The added EMFs into our private dwellings are overwhelmingly intrusive and harmful to our health. DTE and Consumers Energy has been highly profitable and will continue to be highly profitable without advanced meters in single and multiple dwelling units. Their profitability is based upon a monopoly of utility service funded by the people that they are subjecting to health risk. As the West Bloomfield Township Supervisor, I have been pro-development and have voted in support of waivers for new business construction. Through recent Town Center Task Force efforts, I have learned that while it appears as though it is cooperative and helpful, it compromises the ability for businesses to succeed. The City of Birmingham offers no waivers. Business demand remains high and businesses thrive. If the legislature does not impose regulations for DTE, which insists on these meters into our homes and the public is not in support, it will create competition in the utility marketplace and drive energy alternatives. Corporate America and the state legislature are not the same. The role of government is to impose regulations for the health, safety, and welfare of the community at large. The University of Michigan defines public health policy as, quote, the science and art of protecting and improving the health of communities through education, promotion of healthy lifestyles, and research for disease and injury prevention. Public health works to prevent health problems before they occur. Our state legislature has term limits. While you can impose regulations now, you may not have an opportunity to do so later. Make no mistake, we all have to live with these meters. My 11-year-old daughter complains of headaches and sleeps directly under a meter. There is no way to reconfigure the construction of the home and to provide her protection. She, Chloe Uresti, requested that I give this testimony today on her behalf. Since I complained and requested the DTE opt-out program 3 weeks ago, I've experienced health issues. I had to take a nausea med, a prescription med, to get here today. Personally, I do not care about quick restoration of power restoration as much as I care about my children's health. DTE will lead you to believe that you can opt out of this program. I requested opt out, and I will not be returned an analog meter. In conclusion, the expired House Bill 4315 was introduced to regulate advanced meter program and to protect a consumer's right to opt out of the advanced meter program without penalty and utilize a non-transmitting meter at their residence. I commend the sponsors, Tom McMillan, and co-sponsors of this proposed legislation, and strongly encourage future support. Based upon the previous statements, it's evident that the state legislature has an extremely important job to do to stand up to business community for the health, safety, and welfare of the community. Other states have done so. We may lose Michigan residents to these states if we do not impose regulations to protect our most basic needs. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Actually, that bill hasn't expired just yet. We still got a few more weeks, but if it does, hopefully somebody will pick it up next year. And based on this testimony and the turnout, I think there's going to be interest in the legislature. Ms. Juarez?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative McMillan, and the members of the committee. My name is Kathy Juarez, and I've lived in West Bloomfield for over 30 years. And we came home having been gone for the winter this middle of April. And after a few weeks, I began to get waked up in the middle of the night, about 10 after 4 each day. And as the time progressed, and I couldn't go back to sleep, as time progressed, I began to get headaches, like pressure on the top of my head. And about that time, I heard a DVD that talked about the issues of smart meters, and I thought, And so I decided to get a opinion from my doctor. In fact, I went to two different doctors, and both of them recognized the fact that I was sensitive to EMF electricity, and both of them suggested that I get the smart meter removed. And at this time, I would like to present my letter, along with the letters from Dr. Brownstein and Dr. Zybrown, and ask that they be submitted and entered into the record, which will show adverse health effects directly attributed after the installation of the smart meter. The headaches became so intense, and I couldn't sleep, and you're tired all day because you can't sleep from 4 o'clock until you get up, that I decided to try and see what it was like to sleep out in the living room. And then the headaches resumed. I also opt out, and that didn't make any difference. The opt out didn't make any difference in my headaches. I went from the living room to the sunroom because that was the farthest place in my house where I could sleep and maybe get some relief. But neither of those things happened. I still had headaches. And other things that happened, ringing in the ears and heart palpitations and other things like that. We have a motor home, and we would go camping maybe for 5 days or 7 days away. And while I was gone on these vacations, these mini little motor home vacations, I would sleep all night. I would wake up feeling good, no headaches. And I thought, it really is the smart meter that's causing my problems. And so for a long time, I slept out in the motorhome, which was parked in my driveway, to get relief from the headache. Because when there's pressure on your head, and it wasn't a pounding headache, it was just pressure in my head. So that's what I did to help myself. And so I would like to say at this time, if I could have the freedom to choose the kind of meter that we have on our home, that would be wonderful, because right now it's very difficult to sleep and wake up at 4 o'clock or 4:15 or 4:30 and not be able to go back to sleep and have a headache. This morning I had a very bad headache.
All right.
So thank you for your help in this matter.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much, both of you. Next up is the NPSC. Are they here? Is it Mike Byrne from the MPSC and Patrick Hudson? Well, I appreciate you attending, and if you could, you're hearing some of the concerns. We've got about 65 more folks that are going to be testifying. Obviously, and you folks are the MPSC, the Michigan Public Service Commission, that, watching out for the citizens and trying to make sure that they're getting, their utilities at a reasonable rate, safely. And so I guess... you have the floor for 5 minutes. I'd love to hear you know, your thoughts on this. I attended one of the MPSC hearings not far from the Capitol and testified, but I did, I've heard from some of the people that were interveners that they really didn't get to talk about their concerns. And I guess that was one of my reasons for holding the hearing, was to hear from the MPSC, you know, why their concerns weren't put into the record during during the testimonies during the rate case regarding smart meters. But if you want to touch on that, or we can address that in the questioning, but the floor is yours.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Mike Byrne. I'm the legislative liaison for the Public Service Commission, and I have with me Patrick Hudson, who's the manager of the Smart Grid section at the MPSC. And as you pointed out, the MPSC is the regulator of certain electric and natural gas utilities in Michigan, including DTE Energy and Consumers Energy, who we've heard from tonight. I guess just to, in the interest of brevity, I've handed out some background information regarding the commission's history in AMI meter oversight. It was alluded to earlier, but in the past few years, earlier before the before, or as soon as meters were beginning to be deployed, the PSC started hearing from citizens and municipalities with concerns about the technology. And so, obviously, the commission was interested in learning more about these meters and opened a docket on its own motion in hopes of increasing the commission's and the public's understanding of smart meters. So that case was U-17000. It was opened in January of 2012. It laid out a process to ask questions of utilities and get responses from them, and also to be able to allow the public to then comment on the filings that the utilities made. Ask the utilities for information related to smart meter deployment plans, investments that they were planning on making, benefits of the meters, whether or not there were health and safety issues that they were aware of, data privacy issues, and whether or not they planned to offer an opt-out. We received nearly 400 public comments, and the investigation culminated in the staff report, which was released in June of that year. Some of the findings included the fact that smart meters are quickly becoming the primary replacement meter to the existing electromechanical meters. They are more accurate, enhance outage response, and offer opportunities for customer energy management. And also that the traditional electromechanical meter is obsolete and currently not in production. Indeed, smart meters are also an important part component to the success of the much larger picture in emerging smart grid, which encompasses not only the meters but the grid itself to be able to enhance customer benefits. In terms of recommendations and conclusions, the commission staff found, after careful review of the available literature and studies, that the health risk from the installation and operation of metering systems using radio transmitters is insignificant. The appropriate federal health and safety regulations provide assurance that smart meters represent a safe technology. In addition, staff recommended that all stakeholders identify and implement privacy policy considerations. Michigan's utilities have large amounts of critical customer data information. They have collected it and safeguarded it for years, and we believe they'll continue to do so. But at the same time, we want to make sure that the data that's being collected through the technology that's being implemented is properly safeguarded. In addition, the staff concluded that an opt-out option or options would be the best solution for customers who have concerns about smart meters, but that any opt-out provision should be based on cost of service principles in accordance with utility rate-making principles. So subsequently, the Public Service Commission accepted the staff's report. It required both DTE and Consumers Energy to file cost-based opt-outs with the commission, and it also required them to file data privacy tariffs with the commission. In terms of data privacy, which was handled in case number U-17102, the commission gave guidance on data privacy and required utilities to file tariffs. Utility has to obtain informed consent from customers in advance if the utility wishes to collect, use, or disclose customer information for a secondary non-utility purpose. And the utility has to display a link to the customer data privacy tariff prominently on its website.
1 minute.
Sorry, 1 minute? Okay.
Yep.
In terms of an opt-out, the commission provided customers with the ability to opt out of having a transmitting AMI meter. It's cost-based, so the customers who are responsible or causing the costs are responsible to pay those costs, and both DTE and Energy have those tariffs on the books. I guess I wanted to touch a little bit, too, based on the letter that you had sent to the commission inviting us to participate in the hearing, to provide a little bit of context of MPSC rules relative to metering equipment and to some of the customer complaints that we receive. I think it's important to note that meters are utility company property and are typically required as a condition of obtaining service. Meters have to meet MPSC technical standards, but there's nothing in MPSC rules or statute which prohibits the use of a specific type of technology. The PSC's role is determining whether utilities may recover costs associated with replacing older meters, which is done within the rate case process. And utilities are allowed under MPSC rule to disconnect service if access to meters is not granted or meters are tampered with in any way. Now, our hope would be that if we got to that situation that we could work with customers and utilities to try to resolve complaints. But when a customer is complaining to the MPSC about utility practice, the PSC's ability to intervene and to require the utility to make corrective action is based on whether or not they have violated the commission's rules. So I guess just to sort of sum up, I want to point out that the PSC has taken steps to stay abreast of the new technology being implemented. We've done that through the U17000 process. The deployment of smart meters is an important part of activities related to the smart grid more broadly and will help utilities in achieving reliability goals, such as those laid out by Governor Snyder, to become a leader in reliability, the top quartile for the number of outages, the top half for the duration of outages. That the PSC has taken steps to work with the utilities to ensure that customer data is protected. That the PSC has not been persuaded that there are health risks associated with the meters, but nevertheless, the PSC required utilities to offer customers the ability to opt out of having a transmitting meter installed at their home. That if customers did not take advantage of the opt-out and instead refuse access to the utility to upgrade its meter or to attempt to reinstall an older meter, they would be in violation of MPSC rules and can have service disconnected as a result. But the MPSC will continue to work with customers to educate them about their options when it comes to smart meters and work with utilities to attempt to resolve customer disputes short of disconnection.
Okay. So thank you. Did you, I forget. Patrick, did you want to testify or are you just here to answer questions?
Just here to help answer
okay.
the question.
Technical support. Okay, good. So I guess my first question would be, does the MPSC not have a problem with a 90-year-old woman who has a perfectly working analog meter getting her service shut off in the dead of winter
Certainly.
And freezing? I mean, is that an okay outcome for the MPSC?
No, it would not be an okay outcome. I can't imagine how that would be an okay outcome for anyone.
Well, but I mean, based on your rules, it would be. Right?
Sure, and what I'm trying to point out is that the utility is within their rights. Now, we would hope that they would have the...
Right.
We would hope that it would not, and we would work to intervene as quickly as possible in a situation like that to try to resolve the issue. I think that what we've heard earlier is that it takes a lot to get to that point. My understanding is that the utilities will work with customers to try to resolve their situations, but at the end of the day... When they're in the process of upgrading meters, if a customer has chosen not to avail themselves of the opt-out that is available to them and instead tries to take a meter that's not utility property and install that in their home, then it becomes...
Or keep their own. I mean, let's say they wanted to keep their own analog.
If they wanted to keep their own analog...
I mean, the one that's there, they're not buying
certainly.
One to install.
That would have to be done on a case-specific basis, but again, the Public Service Commission, does not weigh in on the decision of the utilities in terms of the technology that's used for their meters. We have the ability to deny them cost recovery, but it's their decision in terms of what kind of technology
okay.
they're using.
So let's assume that the smart meters were very unsafe. They were blowing up and stuff. You certainly would not allow that, right? I mean, you would say that that's not good.
if there were...
If they wanted to, you said that you can't dictate their technology, but really you could. I mean, if it was unsafe and you guys thought it was unsafe, you could intervene and say that's not going to be allowed.
We could try. There's nothing explicitly in state law that allows that, but we do have.
Okay. I mean, so they could deliver it, you know, no matter how unsafe, and you guys would be okay with that?
I don't know that we would be okay with it, and we would certainly work within all our powers. But to my knowledge, to my understanding, that's not been the case thus far. We've reviewed the meters that they are installing, and have not been persuaded that there are health effects associated with them, or that there are safety risks associated with them.
Okay. And then, I mean, you do, hold on, you do realize that there are states that, and public service commissions that have differed with you and said, you know, that that it's fine to keep the analog meter, that there's no reason to require it to be removed, right?
Yes, I'm aware that that's the case. But as I'm sure you're aware as well, the statutory frameworks vary from state to state. The authority of a commission varies from state to state, and nothing's uniform across the board.
So, if you wanted to allow utilities to keep the analog meters or require them to allow people to keep them, couldn't the MPSC do that?
I would have to. There's nothing explicitly in state law to my understanding, would give the PSC the ability to do that. Certainly, we have broad regulatory authority, and I think that we would try to work with utilities to come up with some sort of solution. But as I said, to date, we've not been persuaded that there are health risks, not been persuaded that there are safety risks, and there's an opt out that's available to customers. Not to mention the fact that the analog meters, the electromechanical meters, my understanding is they're no longer being produced, and that the ones that are in place today, you know, will have to be replaced at some point. And whether it's a transmitting smart meter or just a digital meter, we're going to be moving away from the analog meters altogether.
But I mean, if they were being manufactured, or they're taking them out of a lot of homes. Those are perfectly functional. I would imagine they could put them in other homes, couldn't they? Okay, it's 7 o'clock, folks. We're going to be here very late if we keep doing this thing.
When it comes down to it, the Public Service Commission is an economic regulator of the utilities. Now, certainly we have the ability to weigh in on service quality and those types of decisions, but there's a case that's gone to the Supreme Court in Michigan called Union Carbide. It's been case law for probably close to 25 years now, and it talks about the MPSC not having the ability to weigh in on management decisions of utilities. Our ability to weigh in comes at the point when they seek recovery of costs that they have expended.
That's true, but I mean, this is not just a management decision on who is going to be the supervisor of, you know, Joe. This is going to be safety and delivery. You certainly have authority over making sure that the delivery of power is
absolutely
done safely.
Absolutely. And we have technical standards that talk about the service that has to be delivered and the meters that have to be used. Those standards are agnostic in terms of the technology that's used to transmit the data about customer usage back to the utility, whether that's a meter reader that goes to do that on a monthly basis, or whether it's done over the air through the radio frequency. We do have rules that guard public safety. To our knowledge, there are not safety risks associated with these meters, and so that's where I would leave it.
Okay. Are there any questions, Representative Robinson?
In this material you provided me, it talks about a staff report issued June 29th, 2012. Is that online?
Absolutely. It's I can forward it to your office as well, so you'd be able to.
But, and then when you talk about your recommendations, you talk about a careful review of scientific literature, which shows health risks from smart meters is insignificant. Is that incorporated into the report, what you reviewed?
It is incorporated into the report. Patrick's section was responsible, so if you want to talk a little bit.
As Mike said, he can send you that link.
Yeah, but I just want to know if everyone else can see it.
And everybody has access. It's in the docket, which is 1,700 100, and then when you go into the docket, there are document numbers, and you'll see the staff report as a document number. And so you can access it, and you'll see that the references are very thorough, and we actually utilize the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab for a lot of the scientific processing of available literature. And there is a footnote in there, and I think it's footnote number 4, which references a very extensive spreadsheet that covers a health tab, data privacy tab, number of things, and you'll see the vast amount of literature that was reviewed under each of those tabs in that very extensive spreadsheet. I wanted to print it, but it's easier to see online.
Okay, may I ask you, the staff, do we have any medical people on the staff?
That's why we did more of a literature review.
But the people who did the review, are they trained in medicine?
No.
Okay, thank you.
So with regard to 17,000 was the rape case, were the interveners allowed to bring up health issues on the record?
17,000 was not a rape case. 17,000 was an investigation. The commission asked the staff to do an investigation.
Right.
That was the process.
And there were interveners. I saw them. There were citizens that said, we want to intervene. They took a ton of their time out. And from what I'm understanding, they were not allowed to get on record their health, their concerns.
I suspect that we're talking about two different proceedings at the commission.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, I'm just talking about this case, the whatever you want to call it. What is it, a docket?
Yes,
17,000. You used 17,000.
17,000 had no interveners. It was not a contested
case.
Okay,
which one did then?
There are multiple other cases that had interveners. 17053 was the DTE opt-out case. There were interveners that
Dominic,
were involved
was that
in
the that. One? Okay. So in that one, was there allowed? I mean, I just wanted, did the MPSC try to get citizens' concerns on the record?
Absolutely.
I mean, were they allowed? So you're saying I could look that up in the record on one of these cases and see, you know, Dominic Cusmano and what he said?
Sure. Every case that the PSC does, with the exception of certain complaints, in order to keep personal information private, is available on the commission's website. We, you know, every docket and every filing and every docket is available for the public to view. You know, each contested case, citizens or individuals who want to participate need to have standing to be able to do so. They need to get into the case at the time that it's the notice goes out and the public is made aware. So I don't know the particulars of the cases that some of these folks have participated in or attempted to participate in, but we could certainly look into that and understand.
You know what, Dominic, could you come up here? Just real quickly, and just for I don't want to make this long because we got a lot of time, but I'm hearing something different than what you and your wife have shared with me. And I was there when you became an intervener. Turn that off, please. What, just real quick, I mean, what were you allowed to, and put the mics to your
Turn it on, you mean?
Yes, turn it on, hit the button.
Okay.
So, yeah, what
for the opt-out case is the case that we were allowed to be interveners in from the very beginning. It really wasn't an opt-out case. That's what we were talking about. The U-17,000 case was not a contested case. They did not allow any interveners into that case, but they took the health, safety, and privacy on their own. What happened was Abate, which is a small business association, had a lot of problems with the U-17,000 case. It took it to the Court of Appeals. When it went to the Court of Appeals, it was remanded back to the MPSC to come up with a sound, David?
176A, I think it's the case. Okay. Well, I, again, well, I don't want to get too diverted here, but I mean, is this, were citizens allowed to put their concerns of health on the record?
We,
I mean, that's what I'm just asking.
The forum to do so was U-17,000. We, as I said, we had over 400 or nearly 400 public comments. Citizens had the ability to weigh in that forum. I think that what Mr.
Were they able to be interveners?
It was not a contested case, so there was no one was an intervener in that case.
Okay.
Case number, I think it was 15768 that Mr. Sheldon referred to, was a rate case. And I think it was a DTE rate case from many years ago, 2008, 2009. What happened was it went to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals felt that there was not an adequate record developed around the issue of the deployment of smart meters, and so they sent it back to the Michigan Public Service Commission to take a look at that issue in particular.
Mm-hmm.
What happened at that point was the administrative law judge, who is the who sort of presides over that case, determined that only individuals who were interveners in the original case would have standing to intervene in the remanded case, and so only individuals who were part of the first case were able to do that going forward. So I assume that's why other individuals who may have been interested in participating weren't given the ability to
But you're talking about a 2008 case?
Talking about a 2008 case.
I mean, at that point, there may not have been the awareness, and then you're saying that it was either then or... I just got the sense, and I don't want to belabor this, that there was not an interest by the MPSC to try to work to get people's concerns on the record, citizens' concerns. And so that, I mean, I just hope that...
I appreciate that perception. I understand that. I think that, you know, from the PSC standpoint, it's very technical work, and...
I understand. I used to work for BishCon. I mean, I understand rate cases and all that, but, you know, there can be some flexibility. MPSC can be, customer-friendly.
Absolutely.
And I didn't sense that was the case. So I don't want to belabor it. We've got 60 other people, so I need to get moving. But thank you very much.
Could I make one tiny comment?
No.
One tiny comment? When it was remanded back, it was remanded back for the risks and burdens of this smart meter program. They never looked at the risks when it was remanded back.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Georgetta Livingstone, Ph.D.
You guys were bought off.
You have. Now, come on. Okay. We're good. And I appreciate you folks coming to testify. Georgetta, and you have had your power cut off. You live in Clarkston area.
Yes.
And please proceed. Yep. Yeah, press the button. Make sure it's... Oh, that's
right,
good.
It's right,
is,
right,
as long as it's lit up.
Good evening, and thank you very much for this opportunity. I never thought that I would have this chance, but I'm very appreciative. I never thought that anybody understands the pain I'm going through, but though I am very educated, 2 master degrees and a PhD in engineering, I taught engineering for 14 years, I didn't know anything about smart meters. I never heard about it. I didn't know anything. So when they came in our subdivision with a drive to put them on, they used misleading words like they are effective, efficient, cost-effective. So knowing nothing, I said, who doesn't want something better for the same thing? As soon as they installed it, it was not cost-effective for customer, but for DTE. The bill was higher. We used to pay about $45 a month. It came $78.80. I called DTE. I said, why is such expensive? Why is such a high cost? And they raise the voice. They intimidate you. You go nowhere, so you hang up. You continue to pay. Several months later, I got very ill, and I attached a copy at the end of my document with picture on my body. It was almost an explosion. About 90% of my body was covered with some kind of, looks like a rash. I'm very healthy. I don't use medication. I don't visit the doctor, not even once a year. I didn't know what it was. I have made very itchy, very extremely, you feel like ripping off your skin. And I have medical doctors in my family. I explained, I sent pictures. They sent me to emergency. They didn't know what it was. They sent me home with a high dosage of Benadryl, which is only numbing the itching. It's just like a painkiller, but it's not the cause. Then I began to receive information, medical reports, some others, and I educated myself. And I discovered the harmful effects of this device. It's not a meter, because it doesn't measure just the consumption of electricity. It's more than this. And the more than this, it's harmful to the human body. I discovered it's emitting high electromagnetic radiation, harmful to the body. It was to me. I was the evidence.